Good morning. I'd like to just say heartily welcome to each and every one of you that have come this morning. Good to gather with fellow believers in the house of the Lord to worship, to praise, and to hear the Word of God. My name is Larry Kaler, from all the way from Austin, and a good drive this morning, and we just praise the Lord for a brand new day that He has given us. So I thought of one verse. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning. We just thank You for giving Your life for us. When we're reminded in John about that we are the sheep, You are the shepherd, You have given Your life for the sheep. And so as we gather this morning as brothers and sisters in the Lord, may we just feel the presence of Your peace, the presence of Your love and mercy and Your goodness that You have given to us. And so we ask for a spiritual blessing this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll begin with some songs.
In the blue hymnal number 483, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. I invite you to stand. Number 294, Are You Weary? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? 116. Okay, we have a different copy.
We have a different copy.
Probably from the rad book then.
Ours is 294. Chavis Stami sent you.
There you go. 116, you said? Okay, excellent. We start again. Standing on the Promises, 323.
Let us praise.
And so this morning, as we've opened our service with singing, and the last song, and when we think about standing on the promises of God, and I don't know if you've ever asked the question, how many promises has God made to us? I think if we search the scriptures diligently, we find many promises. And as we were singing this song, I was thinking of one of the, in my mind, the greatest promises that God gave us is in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? When we are standing on the promise of God, which is now in His Son, Jesus Christ, and like I opened before, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If we are rooted, grounded, and growing, there is no pressures in this life that really can separate us from God. That means that we should feel secure, safe, and relaxed. Someone asked me a question this week, well, aren't you very anxious to get on the field? I said, God promised us a seed time and harvest. He just didn't say when. So we got to rest on His promises, right? He opens the time of opportunities. He is in control. And when we rest securely in His promises, we don't have to be anxious or worry. That means that we can trust whatever comes our way, whether it's high waters or no waters. Last year was drier, quite dry, we thought, and yet God blessed us immensely. This spring seems the opposite. We have water. The ground seems to be replenished, and it's still going down. And yet we can rest on the promises of God. It's just a peaceful environment if we can be right there, resting in His promises. This morning, we are going to go through the articles, I think 10, 11, and 12. I was told, and so I want to do that. And the first one is Article 10 of the washing of feet. Kind of interesting, we have an article of washing of feet, and yet we don't practice it. But when we talk about being humble and serving, we can wrap that up in there. So it says, of washing of feet, we teach that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, according to John 13, after He had instituted the Lord's Supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of His disciples and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. If ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. From this, we should observe how Jesus, our Master, out of pure love, humbled himself and took upon him the role of a servant in order to deliver and to redeem us from sin and to cleanse us. And therefore, he taught us that we, his followers, should also serve one another with equal humility and love. I've thought about this article many times. And I thought about in the beginning, we're in John 13. He says he laid aside his garments. Interesting. Today I went to my closet and I pulled out a suit and one of my nicer looking shirts, dress pants. That's different apparel than I used yesterday to go to my shop or my barn. Yesterday morning when I got up, I chose a shirt that I really didn't care how much it looked, how good it looked. I chose my jeans, which had stains on them and from grease and dirt. And I went and checked my barn. Then I went to the shop. Different apparel. And I thought about this, you know, Jesus laid aside his garment. He says he took a towel. And then he took his basin of water. So he took the apparel. Now we got to think about when in that time when someone came to a house, they would call the servant in to wash the feet of the guests. So he took the apparel of a servant, water, towel. And I think he would have got on his knees. And washed their feet. Because obviously, when he was done, he says he got up and sat down again, right? So they were sitting on chairs. And so he was willing to kneel down, stoop down. And it's an illustration that he was willing to go to the lowest level of servanthood. The master of the house usually didn't do this job. And this article is a prime example for us today. Sometimes, well, I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I don't need to do this or that because that doesn't suit my job description. But Jesus was willing to do that. And I think, and I often think about this, just because I get up here and speak, my position is, I don't want to put myself in no position higher than anybody else. In fact, I have these thoughts many a time. I'd rather do your worst jobs so that I didn't have to do this one. Those are my thoughts. And don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't enjoy this. It's just that some days I just, you know, give me the dirtiest job out there. Like clean your sewer or your barn pit, and I would be happy. And so we should be willing to, you know, serve others. That's the point of this. We should be willing to serve others. You know, Jesus had the power, resources available to him, that he didn't have to do this. But he wanted to be obedient to his Father. Jesus was asked, who is the greatest? I want to turn to Luke 22. A couple verses, verses 24 to 27. There was a strife amongst the disciples. Verse 24, it says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, that they exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. And this really caught my attention this last year. We have many that want to exercise authority. He says they are called benefactors. But then he says, but ye are not so. You are not like that. But he says, but he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Just think about that. You know, we go to the restaurant, we think, well, we're more important than a server because he needs to serve us, or she. He or she needs to give me all that I want today, or for this meal. And yet, we should actually count them higher than ourselves because they're doing all the work. They're sacrificing their time for eating to serve us. We should, a good article to remind us that our job is to serve, not to exercise authority. It's to serve with love and respect. On to Article 11 of marriage. We also confess a marriage ordained by God himself when he set Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, namely two persons, a man and a woman, on whom God the Lord pronounced his blessing according to Genesis 1, verse 28. But the men of old disregarded and misused this ordinance and took unto themselves many wives. Therefore the Lord Jesus in the New Testament completely and totally renounced this practice and said that God at the beginning had created one man and one woman and had united them according to Matthew 19. Such marriage in the Christian church must take place between two believing persons who through one baptism were baptized into one body and were born anew from above by God. These alone marry in the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 7:39. They can then become blessed in this union if they remain in the true faith, in love, in sacredness, and in discipline. As taught in 1 Timothy 2:15, Moses, the lawgiver of the Israelites, permitted the obstinate Jews to divorce themselves from their wives and gave them a letter of separation as stated in Deuteronomy 24. This marriage separation or permission to divorce our lawgiver, the Lord Jesus completely annulled and again reinstituted marriage as it was in the beginning when God united two faithful people and made them as one flesh and placed them into paradise. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Matthew 19:6. Therefore, it is plain that the two cannot be separated by divorce as long as they shall live. But if one of the person dies, the other is at liberty to be married again to whom he will, but only in the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 7:39. We understand this to mean that the living or remaining partner must remain in the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the marriage must be in, not out of the church, for we consider it to be inadmissible when a person is married outside the church. As we have an example of this in the ancient world, when God showed his displeasure, as stated in Genesis 6, usually only quarrels and disagreements result between such marriage partners, and this is not pleasing to God, but is an abomination to him. Paul teaches us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let us therefore all be warned, and in a most brotherly fashion be admonished to beware of such marriages. May the good Lord, through his Spirit, preserve and keep us, that no one fall victim to such folly and to depart from the Lord and his church for anything in this world. For our Lord Jesus teaches that he that loves someone more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37-38. So when we think of marriage was created, ordained by God. When he formed Adam out of dust, God bent down, I believe, on his knees again and breathed into Adam the spirit of life, the breath of life. It says, and Adam became a living being. Once Adam had named all the animals that came through male and female, and God says, there is no one for Adam. And so he made Adam to go to sleep. He took a rib out of him, and he made what he called a woman, a partner, a helpmeet for Adam. God saw that man was not complete without his partner. Marriage is, in the New Testament, a resemblance of the church and Jesus. We are the bride. The two When we think about marriage, the symbolic of the physical marriage into the spiritual marriage with Christ, the two work very hand in hand. And I see this more as I get older. When we take care of the needs of our partner, we see that love grows. But we also see that as we do that, we can grow our relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus. It said there that Moses allowed these to be separated, and he did, and it says in the Old Testament, because of the hardness of their hearts. And so we see Solomon was it, that had 700 wives and how many concubines? And David had numerous, and we could find many that they had many wives. Solomon, his wives, he took of all, not just of his own people, but of the surrounding area, and they led his heart away to worship strange gods. Often think about Samson, and I think about the power of a woman on a man. So here's Samson with his hair, which was his secret to his strength. And when pressed daily about where his strength came from and why he had it, was his wife or his woman, that he was able to tell a secret. And he ended up losing his strength because it was a trap. It was a trap. So Moses, you know, because their hearts were hard, he allowed them to divorce. It says here, because Jesus, again, referred back to what God made in the first place, one man and one woman, it says that we cannot be separated, but, you know, we see today people are being separated. People do separate. They do divorce. And so it's not that they cannot, it's just when they do, there is great damage done. Think about two pieces of cardboard that are glued together. That glued is dried, it's hard. What happens if you try and separate that cardboard? You're going to peel it off, and it's torn, and it's frayed, and it's shattered. And think about that as a marriage that is rocky, that is being separated, because we have emotional ties. That's why it happens, right? When that separation happens, it rips the flesh apart, because we became one flesh. And if there's children involved, it hurts them. And there's a lot of damage that gets done. Can this damage be repaired? It can be, but it takes a lot of healing. And it's just like a cut in your arm or your hand or your body somewhere. It leaves scars, lifetime scars. But we do serve a God, Jesus, who is about healing hurts. And so I would urge each and every one of you, marriage is a blessed thing, blessed ordinance, I should say, of God. We should work at each of our marriages to make sure it's healthy. And what usually happens is we allow little things to come in between and we don't forgive. We get bitter, we get angry at each other. And the love seems to grow cold. Now, to encourage us, you know, seek help. If that's what's happening, if we need help, it's worth it. And I'd encourage us also to take time to do checkups. How's our marriage going? Talk to our partners. Encourage them. Article 12, it says the evangelical band, its withdrawal and its application. one that we don't like to talk about, one that makes us sad. But I think most of us, we don't like disciplining our children either. And talks about the discipline in a church. It says, of the evangelical ban, its withdrawal, its application of the promise, the punished ones in the church. We believe and confess that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church the keys of heaven and to bind and to set free, and commanded that all annoying and vexing disobedient members of the church should be banned from his body and his church. As the Apostle Paul introduced the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13. Therefore put away from among you, from among yourselves, the wicked person. But how carefully we must proceed toward improvement rather than division. The Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew 18, 15 to 17, when he says, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican, in order that we proceed very carefully with the ban and the separation from the church. Our first elder, Menno Simons, with all his co-workers, teach and instruct the work in the house of the Lord. When he speaks in this way, the ban should be taught and applied in a proper apostolic way and practice, not too hastily, not too lenient, or not too slowly, not too severely, neither too leniently, in order that you do not see the kids in its mother's milk. Personally, I think that verse is missed. It doesn't talk about a ban. It talks about our sacrifices in the Old Testament. So I think it's misrepresented there. But we are to work with love. When, however, a man's iniquities have separated him from God and his sins have hid his face from you, Isaiah 59:2, and faces the wrath of God and has ruined his blessed state with God the Father, annoys the church of God and afflicts it. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 15:13 orders such plants, which my heavenly Father has not planted, shall be rooted up. This separation from the church and apostles and the first Christians used and supported, as we see in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and in 1 Timothy 1:20, in order to improve those who become separated from the church, they must be kept apart and shunned. In this way, they will be ashamed of their evil deeds, will repent, and their souls will be saved on the day of judgment, according to 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, is this separation from the church not for the destruction or ruin of the band, but rather for penitence and conversion of the disgraced and crushed hearts. We must therefore regard them not as our enemies, but as brothers, and must admonish them according to the teachings in 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Above all, we must pray for them that the Lord Jesus will be gracious to them and forgive them their sins, and through his compassionate love will accept them again as the children and joint heirs of his kingdom. For the Lord has not given us power or authority for destruction, but for improvement. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Therefore the Lord Jesus teaches in Matthew 18:12-14, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go unto the mountains and seeks that which is gone astray? And if so be he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of our Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. In the same manner, the church must extend once more a loving hand to the punished one after he has become truly penitent and again accept him as a member of the church. It is sufficient, says the apostle, that he was punished by the many, therefore he must also receive a greater measure of assuring and comforting words and forgiveness in order that he does not sink in too much grief or sorrow. And so I admonish you that you show your love to these as stated in 2 Corinthians 2:8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him thus far. When we think of this being a ban or a shun, it's not a pleasant thing. But the real purpose is for anybody. It says those who annoy and vex the church. Today what we often see is this: a person that is living in sin, he actually disappears from the church because he doesn't feel comfortable there. And so it is our duty as brothers and sisters in the Lord to love one another. You know, love draws. Hatred pushes away or divides. Unforgiveness divides. And so we need to gently encourage. I like the word encourage. Encourage each other to walk in the way of righteousness. So let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you again for this opportunity to look at the church, its functions. And we know that Jesus was the head of the church, all things of the church. The church is to be an example of love towards one another, a light to the world. And Lord, I just pray for each one here that we could do that. Just bless this congregation with a desire, with a love for one another. We pray in the name of Jesus. At this time, we'll kneel for silent prayer. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have one song now? No? Okay. Just nonsense.
Good morning. I just have a few announcements here that I want to highlight here. It is in your bulletin. And one is this Hope's Journey Home. We had decided that we would help build it, and they're going to build it in Portage La Prairie. And today is whatever you will put into the boxes there that will go for this to start building it. And if you are interested in helping it in the future, just mark it for Hope's Journey Home, and then we will send it out there so that they will have it. The other one that is in the bulletin as well, I'm not going to read that, but it is a notice regarding withdrawal of support from the MCI. You can read that article in there, the reason why and what the church has done with that. Yeah, thanks, and have a blessed day.
I want to thank you all for coming this morning, and keep trusting the Lord. Keep standing on His promises, and so let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of Jesus.